Hi, welcome to Fresh Media Presents Podcast. You're joined by myself today, Christian and Paris. We are the hosts of the podcast. This is now series 3, episode 4. Thank you so much for joining us today. So we are joined by a special talent. Her name's Sophie. And I believe you're an actor, right?
I am indeed. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you so much for coming on. So for those that don't know you, or just tell everyone what you do.
So I'm Sophie Mehewin-Turner. I'm a Brighton-based actor and performer. I predominantly work in theatre, but slowly, particularly since the pandemic, I've been moving over to film and online performing.
So how long have you been acting for?
So I suppose I started acting as a child, but I went to university, then I trained to be a drama teacher, and then I went to drama school, so professionally 7 years.
So you did. So what was it like training to be a drama teacher? What was your experience with that?
It was quite stressful, I found. The teaching of the students was good. That was a good experience, and I enjoyed working with people, and I enjoyed helping them to prepare them for their exams. But oh my gosh, there's so much sort of admin and so on. That any chance of performing yourself or still being involved was really quite challenging.
But I guess you as an actor now can understand, because you've taught them actors.
And it helps you improve your own performing skills, because you get more of an understanding of it if you teach it to somebody else. And sometimes other people not understanding what you're trying to say helps you to understand. Because you work harder to help them, you know, to explain it to them.
Exactly.
I see. So what did it entail, the training course, for you to actually train to be a drama teacher? What was kind of like the training?
It was quite a practical. I would say it was more 75-25, something like that. So part of it was theory-based. So that was sort of studying how to teach. Sort of principles of teaching, how philosophers and so on thought that the mind worked and how teaching is effective. Part of it was also practical. So at first you studied somebody teaching drama, and you had like a scheme of work in front of you, that so you knew what they were going to do, what the lesson was about. Then you sort of, you did it kind of together, and then they sort of left you.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really? It was quite nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
So what made you want to become an actor? Have you always wanted to be one, or did you go to drums, did you learn the teaching aspect and thought, you know, I want to be an actor?
I always wanted to be an actor from, I think, when I was a child. I can first remember wanting to be an actor, and that never really changed. I think that I also was aware of the fact that it's quite an unsteady job, and so I think I wanted to teach drama as well to kind of bridge the gap, you know. So I had some kind of regular income that was connected to what I really wanted to do, to sort of help, so that there weren't long periods of time with nothing.
Without work. Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah, because I suppose when you're actor, like you said, it's very irregular. So when you do kind of like have to take, well, not have to, but you try to take as much jobs as you can as an actor, if any opportunity kind of arise, you have to kind of take it. So with you said you've been acting since, well, how long have you been acting for now?
Well, professionally. For sort of 7-8 years.
7-8 years. Mm. And has, well, during this challenging times, how have you found work during the whole coronavirus outbreak? Has it been really, really fucked?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Right, so the year started off particularly well for me. I was cast in Edinburgh Fringe, Brighton Fringe and Manchester Fringe.
Yeah.
Which had never happened to me before, to get all three in the same year. I was doing a project about the female body and about somebody's experiences coming out as lesbian, and I was really passionate about the project. And then due to the virus, I lost all three.
Oh, serious?
Wow.
Yeah, so the whole sort of plan for the year just sort of...
Did they just stop the production, everything just got stopped?
Well, yeah, because Brighton Fringe was postponed. Originally it was cancelled, but then it was postponed. Manchester Fringe, I think, was cancelled, and Edinburgh Fringe. I mean, they say it's going to happen next year.
Yeah.
But then that assumes that the other people in the performance can make it next year. Depends whether they've, what they're doing next year.
I think they should still have you in mind, because it's just not fair on you, because, you know, you...
Or they should move online. They should try and... Because I've seen a few things that they're moving productions online instead of obviously in person.
Some would be quite difficult to do online.
Yeah. It depends that it assumes that everyone has the kit for that, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. It is. I mean, the whole virus has fucked up art industry, in particular the whole creative sector. Yeah. Like theaters have gone fucked. I don't know what's gonna happen with that. It's just kind of everyone's taking a hit, especially the creative industry. And it's like, I don't know what are they gonna do to help us bounce back. I mean,
it's a very tricky time.
Yeah,
it's incredibly tricky.
Before the virus, how was work for you? Was it regular? Very regular.
You said it was good, didn't you?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so it was doing quite well.
What about now? Has things started to kind of maybe sort of pick up, or have you seen other opportunities like film or TV? Or?
Slowly. I mean, I did a murder mystery last weekend.
Oh, wow. Mm.
So that's a live performance. That was for like a hen party. I think now the government have changed it a little bit so that we can perform in front of 33 people.
Mm. Oh,
so that,
okay,
that has kind of helped to some extent. But in terms of going back to working in theatres, still waiting for that one. Mm. I think that would be more of a challenge because, you know, it's as well as it being about performing in front of people, it's making it financially viable.
Yeah.
And they'd have to do things, I imagine, like social distance them all, so then you'd have less audience in.
Mm.
How?
Well, I think that would be a good start, though.
Yeah.
Just to try and get more, like, actors back into work.
Yeah.
It'll be a good start, but I just don't see how. I get it, the whole eat out scheme is good, but if you can do the eat out scheme,
can
I feel
not?
Like you can do the theatre scheme.
Yeah.
But on obviously on a lower capacity, obviously you're not going to make the normal money that a theatre would usually make in a night, but it's a start.
It would be great if that could happen.
I think so.
You know what it is? I feel like the government, I don't know if I'm correct or not, but this is just my thing. I think that they don't care about theatre. They look at it as
the
you guys are not.
The industry in general.
Yeah, maybe not films, because films generate lots of income. Not films, but I'm talking about like the theatre industry in particular. I think they don't give a fuck. To them, it's like, you're dispensable. We don't give a fuck about. But even though it brings in so much money, though, I don't understand. It's like they don't care. They don't look at it as that important.
And like, historically, people who have worked in the government in the particular party that are in at the moment used to go to the opera and so on, and to the theatre quite a lot. So I find it quite surprising that they're not doing
they don't
more
care. Yeah,
it's because like, if that was part of their childhood,
yeah,
and if that was part of, you know, their friends and so on, I don't quite understand why they're not.
Well, I think as well, like my friend is mainly a theatrical actor.
Mm.
She's never really done TV or film,
mm,
but because of this situation, it's made her leave theatre and actually go into something that she wouldn't usually do, like film or TV, and like kind of redevelop her mind, because she said it's like a completely different training in theatre.
It totally is.
That's what she told me.
It totally is.
So it's like there's a little bit of a positive to a degree.
Yeah.
Like and I'm talking about in terms of people that just do theatre, maybe they might be trying to venture into other things, like, you know,
film.
I know someone, even a friend of mine, like who just does theatre, she's actually just started up a podcast as well. So it's just like different things like that. But, you know, something needs to be done to help everyone.
But your friend was absolutely right there. The two are not the same.
Yeah.
And I suppose in that sense, I suppose you could look at it that lockdown was a positive for me because my theatre work was taken away and I couldn't do that. But the gap of the lockdown gave me a sort of a time to sort of figure out how do you be a film actor?
Yeah.
You know?
I see. What, just explain for the audience and for those who don't know, what makes it the two so different in your experience?
Well, it can be camera. So knowing that there's a camera in front of you is very different.
Yeah.
Mm. Knowing where to look, what to look at. Sometimes, you know, people filming will say, don't look at the camera.
Mm. Yeah, don't look at the camera.
But
yeah.
How do you do that when this massive thing
never
in
look
front
at the camera,
of you? And it's moving. It's like, what? That is weird. And then there are certain things to do with, like, pronunciation of lines and so on. If you think that you're going to perform in a theatre and there are, like, 300 people, you're going to speak louder and you're going to project so the person at the back can still see and hear what you're saying and what is happening.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in a film and you start shouting, then the other actor immediately probably thinks you're angry.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not.
So what kind of casting sites are you using? Are you on Spotlight? Are you on Mandy and stuff like that?
So Spotlight, I would say, is the main one.
We spoke about this in our previous episode.
Oh, did you?
Someone said that Spotlight, they've changed the rules now. You have to have about four professional credits to even be on Spotlight.
Yep.
That's fucking hard.
Yeah. I think that's crazy, though, for upcoming people that don't go to drama school and are trying to build their portfolio.
That's very tricky,
What do you think? Do you think... But then again, you have got Mandy, so you can actually... So those that haven't gone to drama school...
And Star Now.
And Star Now. we talked about that as
Starting Hell, yeah. It's like our least kind of favourite one.
No, do you know what?
There's loads of jokes on there.
We have casted people on there and they've been great. Yeah. They have. However, obviously, when we're looking through the application, some people.
They're always half naked.
Something like that. It's like people that you wouldn't. You know, their profile don't actually match. And even when you invite them in, just to give them the benefit of the doubt, it's not what you... Whereas I think, like, Mandy and Spotlight are a lot more stricter on the talent that comes on.
Mm. Yeah, they are. And like, even with, like, example, it's like Star Now. Like, let's say you put an ad out, say, looking for young black males acting in so-and-so.
Yeah.
Then you have a bunch of white people, Indians, everyone applying.
Yeah.
Did you not fucking read it? I said,
literally.
You get that. You know, what the fuck?
I get it. Like, there's a lot of hungry actors out there. They just want to put themselves forward just in case.
No, but it's stupid because it clearly says on the ad, young black males, for example. I'm choosing an example. And then you have, like, old people playing.
No, but I remember we posted an ad. Yeah. I can't remember what was it for. I can't remember what it's for. We posted an ad for something and we're very specific, but someone that didn't even fit that criteria messaged us saying, I know you wanted this, but I think I'm good. So it's just them ones. Some people just want to put themselves forward just to kind of maybe...
I see why. I mean, it's that thing we were talking about earlier about actors looking for always opportunity. Like, you need to always create... Essentially, you're creating your own work in a sense, because with an act... I feel like what you're saying about acting is like, unless you have a really good agent... Do you have an agent?
Yeah,
you do. Yeah, unless you have a really good agent that always puts you forward for stuff. But if you don't, and some people don't, it's like you have to, you're your own agent, you're a free agent, you have to always create your own
work.
We
actually had a conversation with another actor who said that they're with an agent, but they wasn't putting them for stuff, so they didn't have like that a good relationship. Do you have a good relationship with your actor, your agent?
I do, yeah, but I think that it's a dangerous territory. I think it's very easy to think I've got an agent. My agent's going to find me all the work, so I'll just sit by the phone and wait. You can't.
You have to put yourself forward for things.
Yeah, you have to keep going. Mm-hmm. You've got to remember that you're not the only person your agent is representing.
That's true, yeah.
True. So therefore, you might see a job. You need to remind your agent, I've seen that job. Can you apply for me, please?
Mm.
And, you know, you might be doing something different. You might be on Facebook. You might be on Instagram and see work. Mm. Just because you've got an agent doesn't mean ignore that. You've got to continue... the fight yourself, you know.
So obviously you went to drama school. Mm-hmm. Do you think it benefited you in your career? Obviously you've obviously had to work hard and graft, but do you feel like it benefited you or give you that extra step to get to where you are, or do you feel like it's just like general hard work that needs to push you in this industry?
Big time. Big time I think it benefited me. I think the industry as a whole has changed. It's true to say that there are actors who have made it without going to drama school. Jennifer Lawrence, she got an Oscar. She did not attend drama school. Mm. Sir Ian McKellen.
Horrible actor.
but she got an Oscar.
She got an Oscar. No.
You know, somebody somewhere must think that she's, you know, you can't get much higher than an Oscar.
Even the Oscar's fucking rigged now.
Yeah,
but that's just my opinion.
Well,
disclaimer, that's my opinion.
I think that there are a lot of people have that sentiment, don't they?
Yeah. It's not fair. But anyway, but you're right with Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah,
but she managed it. Sir Ian McKellen, he didn't go officially to drama school. I mean, he went to university and went to a sort of drama classes at university. He was part of the university drama group, but didn't officially go.
Mm.
So it is possible to not go to drama school and to attend. But I think it's more of a struggle.
Yeah.
Apart from anything else, we talked about Spotlight. Yeah, you have to get 4 professional credits to get on Spotlight, but you can also get on Spotlight if you've been on an accredited course.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's the most obvious one, I would say.
So if you went to like big drama schools, you're automatically on Spotlight, is that what you're saying? Or?
Well, you still apply and you still pay, but yes, you don't have to do the 4 professional credits.
I mean, we were speaking on our previous podcast. They said that on Spotlight, it's definitely worth it. Like, you definitely get loads of stuff from Spotlight.
So Spotlight, I think, has 2 separate functions. Mm-hmm. The first function is you use it to acquire work. The other function is that it gives you a certain credit, a sort of status.
Yeah.
If you say to someone, I'm applying for this job, I'm an actor, I'm on Spotlight...
Mm.
You are treated as if you treat yourself seriously, as if you are already a professional, which isn't necessarily the overall objective of the platform. The overall objective is to find yourself work.
Yeah.
But the sort of point is anybody who is on Spotlight must be a professional because they've either had 4 professional credits or they've been to a drama school.
I see.
So,
whereas, as you said, like about Star Now, for example,
anyone
could
can
be anyone.
Yeah,
anyone can just
can post on it.
Yeah,
yeah. The thing is, people take the content professional a bit too much. But yeah, sometimes, like, you could be professional, but what does that really mean? Like, a professional actor to a non-professional actor. Like, sometimes a non-professional actor might be better than a professional actor.
Yeah.
You see all the time. You see all the time when you say, oh, you know, this person's a professional, but yet they're so rigid that they're so stiff and they're so used to learning a certain type of technique.
Yeah, and how they act. That's a big problem.
Whereas the other person is like, he's free, he's flowy, he's just naturally.
That is a massive problem in the industry, yeah.
And that's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what we were talking about as well. It's just, it's not good because they don't have the open space, an open mind for just bringing in new creative raw talent.
Yeah.
You know, the whole professional, I don't know, it just doesn't sit well with me. A professional actor.
It is a very tricky concept, isn't it? And you're sort of judging people by a certain standard, aren't you?
Mm. Because if this person hasn't got the money to go to a drama school to get whatever, are you going to say he's not a professional actor? He's been acting for all his life. He loves acting. What makes you different?
He's good at it.
And he's good at it, you know, but he's not professional. It's like, it's a bit cheeky though, isn't it?
Mm.
It is. But I mean, in your case, you've had a lot of work before the whole corona, and then obviously things have slowed down.
Yeah.
How have you managed in terms of financial stuff? Have you got a job?
Well, that was very tricky. Yeah. I have got a job. I work part time with adults with learning disabilities. I also teach LAMDA, so they're drama exams. So both of those were helpful. But I also did various things to maneuver it. So like I rung up Specsavers because I have contact lenses, and I explained the situation, and basically I concocted a deal with them where I don't have to pay for 6 months. And still have my contact lens.
Oh wow. I didn't even know they did things like that. You never know.
Then I had a massive tax bill, and so I rung up HMRC and I said, look, there's no way I can pay that. I can't pay it in one fell swoop, kind of thing. So now I pay that in monthly installments instead of the whole lot. Mandy and Spotlight offer a 3-month sort of respite period, so 3 months where you don't have to pay. So I signed up to both of those. So it's just sort of bought me a bit of time to quickly.
So going forward, when you're selecting your jobs, would you select free things, or is it adamant now you have to kind of select things that will kind of pay the bills? Because I feel like everyone's kind of taken a hit.
Yeah,
I get what you mean. Yeah, because during this whole virus,
some people
now,
obviously, understandably, most of us, we need the money.
So working for free,
but
is
at
not
the same
an option.
Time, it might be a thing where you have to choose. Okay, do I want to continue building my portfolio, or because some people at the minute can't pay their actors, unfortunately. So what are your thoughts on that?
It's a tricky one. It is a tricky one, and it raises debates on both sides, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there is the sort of age old argument. Well, I need to have a plumber, you know, to mend my shower or my toilet. I don't ring up the plumber and say, this is going to be a great opportunity for you. Could you do it?
Not going to happen, is it?
You know, I'm trying to make sure you build your portfolio. Yeah, so do some job.
No, when you put it like that.
Or, you know, I've had a really tough year. Could you just mend my toilet for free? You know.
When you put it like that, you know, it actually puts things into.
It puts into perspective, but with like plumbing and. It's a bit okay. This is where
I'm the person.
No. This is I'm going to get a bit obviously controversial. You might agree or not agree, but with plumbing, the stuff you mentioned, there's more of a need for that. There's more of a demand for that.
Well, whereas, what would you have done in lockdown then if there weren't any actors?
That's true.
What would you have not watched telly? Would you have not watched Netflix? Do we count music in this? Would you not have listened to any music as well?
That's true. No, when you put, it's true.
No, but I know the direction you're taking it, but I'm saying, like, yes, obviously you will need actors. Actors are needed.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, in the context of, like, needing plumbing done, so it's like watching something on the telly. I don't know. If you had to pick shower or just watch TV all day.
Yeah.
You know, you need to take a shower.
Yeah.
So it's like, but I get what you mean. It's different. I don't know. With the creative industry, it's very, very different on how you
perceive
it.
But I do feel like for us, like as independent filmmakers, we do see ourselves doing a lot of free things.
Mm.
Obviously, just to gain that additional experience, but there's going to become a time, probably very in the near future, where we are going to just be like, no, we won't. But not to say we won't do free things in the future, but we completely understand where people are coming from when they will say, no, I can't accept no more free things.
I quite often am prepared to do free things if there's something... This sounds really bad, but if there's something in it for me.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense.
Whether it's like material, like showreel material or something like
that. If I can use that on my showreel, and I really think that I could use that on my showreel. So if you're, I don't know, if it's somebody of a reasonable standard who's got a reasonable set of equipment that they're telling me that they're going to do it on, then I am more likely to do that. If or if it's a particular character that maybe it's I don't know maybe it's a Shakespeare play and it's a character I haven't played before and I would really like to play that character,
then that's when it comes in.
Yeah, then I am more likely to go for something free, unpaid. Sometimes I think that I don't know, I'm less likely to do something well paid if I think there's not going to be a benefit to it for me or for anybody. So if it's a character I've played before, if I, you know, if there's nothing, if it's a, I don't know, if it's being an extra in a scene and there's 300 other people in the scene and I'm just going to be standing at the back and they want me to do that for free.
Oh, well. No,
I'm not likely to do something like that because you're not going to be able to see me. It's not anything unusual.
With
there's
that,
no benefit.
Definitely, yeah, definitely have to be paid if you're going to be an extra.
So have you done
much.
Any extra work?
I have, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you signed up to like agencies, like Mad Dog and stuff like that?
No, not anymore, but I did when I was a little bit younger. But so if it's something that I'm going to gain from or even some kind of exposure, then I would be I would be prepared to do it for free, work for unpaid. But in general, I would try and stick to paid work.
Yeah.
But I don't have a big thing against it. I mean, like there's a shop in Brighton, it's a bagel shop. And it's called Auntie Anne's, and sometimes there's like a person outside, and they give you a little free bit of your
like
pretzel.
A sample, yeah.
And you try that, and it's for free. And I suppose the idea is like you try a bit,
you like
if
it,
you like
you
it,
buy
you
it.
Buy, it.
Buy it,
yeah.
But most people, well, I know I'm a guilty of it. Like I take it, I take a few, and I don't buy it. I just like.
Why?
Yeah, but I think they anticipate that most people are going to be doing that, and then they just hope that there's one person who's going, oh, that was nice, I'd really like that. Or maybe you won't be buying it today, but maybe next week when you get paid, you know, and you want a bagel or whatever, you'll come back. And
before you know it, all your pretzels are all gone, and you get so much samples.
I see it's kind of in a way it can be the same in acting.
I believe the way my mentality is with this industry, especially the creative one, is that if you have to do it for the craft as well, because the money will follow you, but you have to do it for the love of the art, because it's not, to me personally, the arts industry, it's not like a regular job. You can't see it as a 9-to-5 office job or working in a normal job, because a normal job is like, here's your contract, do your job, and we pay you a salary, you know, every month or so.
And whereas, it's very difficult having friends and family as well. Because the amount of events, seriously, you know, and at the last minute that I've sort of missed, the amount of birthdays and so on.
It's the sacrifices you have to make sometimes.
You have to, because with like the arts industry, let's be honest, we're self-employed. We're self-employed. We, you know, we go, we create our own work. You know, we do our own, off our own back, we do our own taxes, our own shit, basically. So we are self-employed. So, you know, it's not someone hovering around saying, do this, do this, do this. So you ain't got a manager telling you what to do. It's like you pretty much essentially creating your own work in your own lane. So if you have to do a couple of freebies or samples or something to kind of get yourself more exposure, then so be it. But you will get to a point where you've done enough freebies, you've built your portfolio, you're well experienced, you've got enough to give. But I do believe that you can become like fussy and picky when there's loads of opportunity and loads of jobs. So let's say, for example, you got an offer and they're paying you well paid, then you got another offer well paid, then you got another offer not so good, and then another offer free, unpaid. Then it's like, so the free is going to be out of the question already. You're going to be like, what do I look like to you? Because you really got the opportunities and the options to kind of choose from. So that's when it becomes sticky. So in your case, if you have options around you, and let's say, for example, you got a few well paid and a few not so well paid, but however, you don't like the well paid role, but you like the not so good pay role, like you like the character, would you pick the characters that's not well paid and do that over than the well-paid one?
Depends if you like the script or not, doesn't it?
I think, yes, exactly. I think I would... I would probably look at the month as a whole and see how have I done in general that month. Can I afford not to take the higher thing? And then I would probably do something like go to the higher paid one and say, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't do that day. All
right.
But I could do it next week. How about next week?
Oh, so you're going to still try?
You can
try and negotiate. You never know, you know, if you say to somebody, oh, I mean, if they're offering to pay you a quite a reasonable amount of money, there is a strong chance that they would like to work with you anyway. Maybe in both instances, you know, and if they really want to work with you, they might be flexible. So I think I'd probably try it on with both, to be honest.
Try on with both.
Try and take on both opportunities.
You get caught out. One of them would. I suppose. But what if they said, what if it clashes and you can't take on both? It literally clashes. Production dates, everything clashes.
So if there's absolutely no chance.
No chance.
Then you're going to have to make a choice.
Then you've got to go. I think you've got to go for the role that either you prefer or the role that's going to get you the most. And I don't mean money. I think if you think that one is run better, if one has more marketing, one has more exposure as well, you've got to take that one. And that may well, that's not
all. But how would you know?
Sometimes I think you can sort of...
You can just tell by reading the script, you'll know, yeah, this is for me, trust me. I think so.
And there are questions you can ask. You can ask the person who's running the auditions, what are you planning to do with this film?
Yeah, we get that question quite a lot when we're doing films. Where are you distributing it?
Where are you distributing it? Yeah, because what my experience is that so much, it's not so much the well-paid jobs that can get you the best gigs. Sometimes it's like they're not so well-paid. Like they're still getting paid, but if they, like you said, if it's a better storyline and it's more likely to do well, in screenings and everything, then it's like why not? Because you're still going to get more from that, even if they're not paying you as much as that.
But it's also if they're planning. What they're planning to do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, in theory, you don't know where their money's come from. You know, they could have, in theory, I don't know, done another job, got an inheritance, anything like that, and decided to pay you that money. And that's very well. I'm not slating that in the least. But you might get somebody else who wants to pay you less money, but they want to distribute it all over into all different festivals, and in the long run that's probably better for your career because you know that person's going to distribute it as well. Whereas a person who just happened to happen to have more money, if they're not going to, you know, distribute it, if they're not going to market it, that's of minimal use to me, isn't it?
It's a good thing you say that, because I mean, some actors I know would say otherwise, but it depends on where you're at in your life, you know, where you are financially, and you know, so it does depend. So it's a tricky one. And that's why it's like, in this industry, every decision you make is like kind of critical.
It is. And yes, absolutely. It does depend on your financial situation. I mean, I suppose I'm looking at it at the position where you could, in theory, survive without that higher paid role. But I think as well, particularly in the creative industry, you've got to look at everything long term. And perhaps... quite a lot of money could be seen as being relatively short term, couldn't it? Yes, you'll pay this month's rent with that money, but in the you've got to think about how am I going to pay next year's rent, not just
that's true.
I definitely agree with that. So have you got any upcoming projects that we should look out for, any stuff that you are kind of getting back on?
It'd be great if you could look out for me on my website, sophieactor.co.uk. I'm on Instagram. I've been reading stories for children for Quarantine Kids Story Time, and we did an audio drama of Peter Pan.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was really different. It was really fun to record. I really enjoyed it, but it was very different to anything I've done before. So I was Tinkerbell the Fairy and one of the Lost Boys.
Would you do more of that in the future again?
Yeah, definitely. That was fun. Yeah. It was
great. Why not? I guess sometimes, like I was saying earlier, it is sometimes good to do just something different anyway.
Yeah.
Because that's like, you can just generally just gain a new interest from that.
Definitely. Anyway, you learn a different talent, you learn a different skill, you figure out, and you've got to adapt.
Definitely, I think so.
It definitely teaches you to adapt and to sort of get out your bubble. You know, because I've been a theatre actor for so long, and it sort of taught me that, like,
there's more out there.
Yeah, and I should sort of try and diversify and
I agree,
change instead of doing the same thing all the time.
Yeah. So with like theatre stuff, like, do you have to always build a, like, have you ever worked with someone that's a bit difficult that you feel like, I can't work with you, like, it's just, it's so, it's so hard to, like,
I think that's just in any job.
Yeah,
it's just, like,
it's not just, I don't think it's just in one thing though.
But how do you overcome that, in terms of, do you have to try force the chemistry on, well, when you're performing with that person, or is it just like, you know, I can't stand this person, it's just they're a bit over the top with it, they're maybe they're grabbing you a bit too hard and they're just really over the top?
Well, I think that when you're on the stage, you've got to leave yourself behind, so you're a different character on the stage. If the person is physically grabbing you too hard, then afterwards I would sort of mention that.
I think
that
you would usually like build that relationship up beforehand with you before you go on stage. So I doubt that would. Well, I'm not saying it. Don't
well,
happen.
No, it happens. Sometimes it the guy can get carried away, and you know he's in the moment.
Yeah,
some people get carried away when they're acting.
Then that might make a better response for the audience, mightn't it? Because then that would really surprise you, wouldn't it? You know, if he just lightly taps you and he's supposed to be hitting you.
Have you ever got hit on during a play or something?
Oh, no, but I hit somebody and I left a handprint on his face.
Wow.
I did feel bad about that.
Wow.
I mean, it must have looked good performance-wise, though. It must have looked really good.
Wow, yeah. Handprint.
Wow. What's the worst role you've ever done? Like, the ones that you thought, like, you know what? I can't, like, you feel embarrassed about.
Oh, I don't know. I think a lot of them have had some kind of embarrassing point in them. I did a lot of stuff for children.
I see.
And to some extent, you could say, I suppose you could say that. Do you know what? That's a really hard question, because that you can say that anything's embarrassing, can't you? I mean, like, I've told stories for children. I've been a pirate for kids. Mm. I was Elsa at a children's party.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
I saw ads like that on Facebook, looking for like a Santa, looking for like an Elsa.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that, a lot of that on Facebook, actually.
Would you ever do that, Paris?
No.
No?
I'm not.
You should give it a go.
No, it's just not me.
It's quite cute, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's cute. Do you know what? It's cute, but it's just not me. I just, do you know what it is? I feel like, obviously, you need to put all, otherwise the audience is not going
to
be...
Yeah, you have entertained. To be really you have to, otherwise you're gonna have like, with your emotions.
You know what
and
I mean?
Stuff, yeah.
I'm not for me.
I wouldn't do it because I have a reputation to maintain. I have to keep my grounds.
But they believe it. The kids believe it.
Yeah, your kids, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really cute seeing the little look on their
face. They do, they do.
But it's embarrassing walking through the shopping centre afterwards, you know.
Well, you wear the outfit after?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, I wore it on a bus once.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Wow. Do you have to get your own outfit, or they give it to you?
So I have my own outfit.
Oh, okay.
I mean, in theory, I think some companies will give you an outfit, but then I think, like, because I'm nearly 6 foot tall, I think, like, well, is your outfit going to be long enough? Is it going to be wide enough?
Yeah, it might not. Yeah.
If you had in mind a 5 foot actor? You know, it's not going it's going to be too short.
Nah, definitely. So what's your overall opinion of working for free then? Just your general view of it.
Oh, I think if you can afford to pay somebody, you should always try and pay somebody, particularly actors.
Uh-huh.
If you really, really can't and you really, really want to do your project, then you've got to make it worthwhile for the actor.
Incentives for like.
And if you can make it worth the person's while, then I will consider doing it.
Alright, so you have it from Sophie then. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That's alright. And for the listeners, you can tune in every week, every Sunday at 5 p.m. You can listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, and other major platforms. Thank you so much.